everyone, this is Kina, and today's episode is going to be about learned helplessness and the roles of empowerment and shame in CPTSD recovery. So, quick shout out, if you are listening on YouTube or my podcast, please consider subscribing to my Patreon. It's where I post all of this great content, but also a bunch of other content that is not posted publicly. So if you're interested in supporting the work that I'm doing, consider checking that out. And if you are listening on Patreon, then thank you so much for your support. So to start, I'm just going to define kind of what learned helplessness is and what it means to me. So learned helplessness, I think, is a very natural conclusion from any sort of complex childhood trauma, because children in general just lack resources, lack options, and really don't have what anyone would consider empowerment, you know. Kids have to really resign themselves to their circumstances in most scenarios. So whatever your family dynamics were, whatever your school dynamics were, whatever situations you were put into as a kid, you know, you probably had to just kind of adjust to that. And for most people, part of being a kid is not learning about boundaries and really being encouraged to, like, assert your needs. And, you know, that is props to any parents who do that, but that's not a part of a lot of people's childhood experiences. And there's a natural helplessness that comes with being a kid when you just, you know, literally, legally, and physically depend on the adults in your life to take care of you and don't have the right to leave or say no or these different things. So if you're raised in any scenario where you kind of just had to resign yourself, then there's a certain learned helplessness that comes from that, which is basically like this, you know, possibly not even conscious core belief of, I don't have the power to change my circumstances, and the only power that I have is internalized coping and, you know, internalized ways of managing the circumstances. And that's really where a lot of trauma responses stem from, is the helplessness that people are in when they develop those trauma responses, right? Because kids don't have these different options to, like, say no, leave, set boundaries. And so when we talk about, like, the 4F responses, you know, like fight, flight, freeze, and fawn, all sorts of different coping tools, like excessive daydreaming, you know, perfectionism, codependency and fawning, dissociating and shutting down, whatever it is, like all these different coping tools that people have really originate a lot of the time from a sense of helplessness where, right, like you're responding to your environment, you're responding to your circumstances, but if you don't have the outward ability and the accessible tools to change your outward circumstances, you change your internal circumstances. So these different mechanisms kick in of like dissociation or numbing or daydreaming or people pleasing or, you know, like all these different things. These become the tools that are resorted to when there's really no actual material way that, like, you have to change your circumstances as a child. So, like, you learn these different ways of coping and mitigating that. I think it makes a lot of sense. It definitely helps me have compassion for myself and for other people. Like, you know, it's easy sometimes when we look back on our childhoods, we'll look back on them from an adult perspective and blame ourselves for the way we handled things when we were younger, as if we were looking at it now from an adult. And that's why a lot of the times you'll hear therapists say, like, you know, well, you did the best with the tools you had. You have to remember the limitations of the tools and the resources available to you, especially in childhood when a lot of these patterns develop.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So by the time you're an adult, these limitations aren't the same. You do have certain resources and tools available to you, But what a lot of people don't take into consideration is the factor of learned helplessness that has emerged by then. And learned helplessness is the result of having to just adjust and accept and respond to your circumstances and not having these different rights. And people just learn these patterns of, like, when I'm under stress, when I feel unsafe, when my boundaries are being crossed, my coping is internalized, right? Like, I go inward. And that means so many different things to so many different people. But what it all really has in common is that there's a lack of assertiveness and there's a lack of boundaries. And those things stem from learned helplessness. So a huge part of CPTSD recovery, I think, is recognizing how that learned helplessness shows up for you and finding ways to feel empowered and to claim the abilities and the tools that you now have accessible to you that you did not have accessible to you previously. So what are some common ways that, like, learned helplessness shows up? Just feeling trapped in situations. And I understand, of course, sometimes there are material ways that people really do get trapped in situations, like trapped in shitty jobs because you have to pay your bills. But there's also a lot of circumstances where adults don't tap into the resources and skills that would allow them to set boundaries, assert themselves, or get out of bad situations. And that's nothing to, like, feel shame or self-blame about. It's just this totally understandable outcome from learned helplessness. You actually have to teach yourself that you're not helpless anymore, that you're not in this, like, childish position of dependency and having to, like, turn inward exclusively for coping, right? So learned helplessness, I think, shows up a lot when people get into situations that make them uncomfortable, especially if it would take some sort of conflict or assertiveness to get out of it. So, I mean, you could see this, like, people avoiding breaking up with someone or ending up in dysfunctional relationships. But I have also seen this with even, like, not knowing how to leave a bad job, not knowing how to set boundaries in a professional setting. Like, I remember I got this really terrible, awful job a while ago before COVID, and it was this really interesting thing because I just had, like, a really great job, and then where I felt kind of, like, respected, and I was able to, like, use my skills and was somewhat independent. And then I tried to get this other job that I thought would be a better fit, and I hated it, and I was very, like, condescended to and demeaned. And even though I knew in my gut that I wanted to leave and I wanted to, like, get out of that job, this one day I went in and I had only been there for, like, a few days, but I had, like, this really just negative interaction with the supervisor there that just made me, like, I do not want to work at this place. And I, like, texted my boyfriend about it, and he was the one who was like, yeah, you should just walk out. Like, you don't owe them anything. And I had this, like, anxious response to it of, like, can I do that? Is that okay? And I can relate that now to a sense of, like, learned helplessness, where I actually had to remind myself in that moment, like, yeah, you actually totally can. Like, you have every right to walk out of this job. You've only been here for a few days. You don't like how you're being talked to. Like, you actually have that right to do that. And I did, and it felt good. But it took, like, a inner pep talk to get to that point, because of kind of this pattern of, like, resigning myself to my circumstances and just, like, dealing with it internally. So it takes practice to break those patterns. So yeah, like, decision paralysis is a big way that might manifest. Not knowing how to, like, assert yourself if one of your boundaries is being crossed, whether that's in a friendship, with family, with romantic relationships, with work relationships, like, a boundary is being crossed and your response is to kind of freeze. I think a lot of people can relate to this feeling just in terms of the feeling of, like, shutting down during conflict. And shutting down during conflict is really common for people who grew up feeling like their voices were never heard, you know? If you feel like your voice was never heard and your feelings were never heard, there's kind of two ways that can go. You can either go the route of, like, over-explaining yourself to try to get your voice heard, or just kind of shutting down and being like, never mind, no one's going to listen anyways, and having, like, that automatic response. And that is a result of learned helplessness. The ways that people respond in conflict are often results of learned helplessness, because if you felt really empowered to Assert your needs, assert your emotions, set your boundaries, ask for what you want. These different kind of defense mechanisms that people take in conflict wouldn't be necessary. But the lack of empowerment that people feel to use their voice and use those skills because of their conditioning and the lack of practice, it leads to these like habitual, you know, shutting down and numbing out during conflict because my voice isn't going to be heard anyways. People pleasing and catering during conflict because, you know, my needs and feelings aren't going to be respected if I try to voice them. All the different kind of like negative or damaging defense mechanisms that people struggle with, I think, really stem a lot of the time from a sense of learned helplessness. And this is why boundaries are something that get discussed so much in trauma, because boundaries and assertiveness are two of the major tools that we have as adults that we didn't have as kids to break those patterns of learned helplessness and to create new pathways for how we respond to stress. Okay, so now that I've kind of explained what learned helplessness is, how it happens, and what it looks like, I'm gonna tie it into shame and how that relates. So I don't remember if I've talked about this in other videos or not, but one thing that was really mind-opening for me was learning about how shame is an adaptive response to the helplessness of certain childhood experiences. And I'll explain that more. So one easy way to differentiate between guilt and shame is that guilt is when you feel bad about something specific that you did, whereas shame is a deep sense of wrongness and badness about who you are. Like, I am bad versus, you know, I did something bad. Like, I am bad. Core beliefs that are based on shame. And when a kid is in a situation where, let's say, like, their parents are fighting all the time, or their parents are neglecting them emotionally, or there's abuse of any kind, there's chaos and unpredictability, like, whatever it is, a kid is in a situation where their needs for security are just not being met. They developmentally are just not able to blame their parents for that, because as children especially, we have such biological imperative to be bonded and attached to our caregivers. Like, kids are so dependent on their parents, and also whatever you've known in your family is just like normal. That's just what you're used to. And so it just isn't natural for children to experience some sort of neglect or unmet need and then have the kind of rational reasoning that maybe you can have as an adult to be like, oh, well, my parents aren't able to meet these needs because of their own mental health issues and whatever. Like, that is just not how kids are going to perceive it. They're not going to look at their parents as having deficiencies. They're going to look at themselves as having deficiencies. And a lot of different trauma writers have written about this as kind of being the root of the toxic shame that is a huge symptom in CPTSD, is when your needs aren't met and you're not given the love and security you need, children will naturally blame themselves for it instead of their parents. And this is adaptive in twofold ways, right? It's first of all adaptive because, like I just said, kids are trying to maintain their attachments to their caregivers and can't really handle psychologically the impact of like blaming their parents for mistreating them when they're still completely dependent on their parents for life, for everything. So that's one benefit. The other benefit is a little bit of a sense of control that you get as a kid, because if you are blaming yourself for like, okay, the reason I'm not getting attention is because either like I'm not good enough or because I shouldn't be needing and relying on people. Those are kind of two major responses that a child might have. Like, either I'm hurt because I was foolish enough to need and rely on other people, and so that's my problem, and as long as I don't need other people, I won't feel this kind of abandonment and rejection. Or I'm being abandoned and rejected because I'm not good enough, and if I behave in a better way or make myself better in some way, then I will be appreciated. And whichever kind of direction you go with that, both of those are based on shame, because it's self-blaming, and it's also based on a false sense of control. Because either way, in those situations, you can do something better to get a better outcome, right? Whether it's I'm going to be good and I'm going to be perfect and that's how I'm going to get the love that I need, or it's I'm never going to need and rely on anyone else and that's how I'm going to avoid this pain. Either way, there is like a responsibility that's taken by the child in that scenario, and that is also an inherent sense of like shame and self-blame for what is happening. And again, this all really like traces back to learned helplessness for me, because in that scenario, a kid is seeking for some sense of control or safety that they can find. And these like negative shame-based core beliefs actually evolve out of that, right? Because by believing it's my fault, you're also believing I can do something to protect myself and to feel better and to be okay. And all of these different like defense mechanisms that we have in our attachments and our relationships and our coping are these attempts to you know, protect yourself as a child from these kind of unmanageable and unchangeable circumstances. So when you take that kind of toxic shame that develops in kids in CPTSD environments, and you look at that combined with learned helplessness in adulthood, what that looks like a lot of the time is anytime someone is being like mistreated, they're not happy, something is going wrong, their automatic responses are to A, feel helpless and trapped, and B, to blame themselves and to resort to these different like fight, flight, freeze, and fawn methods. So just to give an example, you know, someone who has this learned helplessness and these shame patterns might get into a relationship where their partner ends up kind of repeating some of the same traumatizing patterns that they experienced in childhood. Like, you know, they have a very like avoidant, dismissive partner, and that's triggering for them or whatever it may be. And instead of recognizing like, oh, this is not the person for me, this is not really like a healthy dynamic, the automatic response is are not going to be anything that is empowered. Like, this is what I need. My needs aren't being met. I'm going to set some boundaries, or I'm going to leave the relationship. The automatic responses are going to be the same as they were in that kind of childhood circumstance of like learned helplessness, like not really feeling empowered to change anything, and instead just kind of resorting back to like, this is my fault, and feeling a lot of like shame and guilt and just distress and helplessness that then maybe will turn into obsessive thoughts and anxiety, freezing and dissociating, like whatever those different 4F responses are. So learned empowerment is just basically the antithesis to learned helplessness. And it's something that I think is a focus in a lot of different CPTSD recovery methods. Boundaries and assertiveness are extremely valuable, and I think people really underestimate the value of boundaries and assertiveness, because it is not just about being able to have healthier relationships. It's about teaching yourself that you actually have tools and rights and a voice that you didn't have before. And this is something that influences inner child healing. It gives you the tools to like protect yourself and stand up for yourself the way that maybe like no one was standing up for you or valuing your voice when you were a kid. Boundaries and assertiveness are this really vital tool for any sort of like inner child healing, because that is how you give your inner child a voice, is like through boundaries and through assertiveness. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different approaches that can be taken, but reminding yourself that you're not a kid anymore and that you actually do have the right to say no, the right to leave, the right to use your voice, the right to state your preferences. It's a process of reclaiming like the rights that you have and your personal power and freedom that was stripped of you. And that now you may be like recreating in these ways in your life, that feeling of helplessness and having tools stripped from you. And so, yeah, learned empowerment, I think, is a good phrase for the treatment for learned helplessness. And it is learned like everything else. Like, it takes practice. You have to remind yourself and learn about what your rights are and what assertiveness and boundaries look like, and practice those in different ways. And I think this is also a good time to mention the importance of relational healing, because I love the line, what's hurt in relationships is healed in relationships. And if you didn't feel safe to assert yourself and set boundaries in your childhood, a lot of times people recreate that because in their friendships, in their family relationships, in their romantic relationships, they'll continue to be close with people who really don't support them being assertive or setting boundaries, people who benefit from them not setting boundaries and maybe take advantage of that learned helplessness. And so if you haven't already, check out my episode about relational healing and the importance of finding people that will support you practicing those new skills. A good trauma-informed therapist is a great person to start practicing those skills with, or friends or partners that are on board with your recovery. Empowerment and compassion, I think, are two really necessary ingredients in trying to combat that toxic shame. And a lot of the times, empowerment is kind of the antidote to some toxic shame, because I really think that shame arises from learned helplessness in that way that I explained before. So, like, for example, just to go back to kind of like a silly example, but I think maybe it helps provide context, my experience with like the terrible restaurant that I worked at, before I remembered that I was allowed to quit, I was having very like habitual reactions of shame in terms of being like, am I bad at this? Am I dumb? Like, why don't they like me? Feeling like judgment about quitting too soon, being like, am I a quitter? Am I the type of person who just like quits things all the time? I was having all of this kind of like inner critic narrative going off, and feeling all of this internal pressure to be like, no, I have to do a good job. I have to like keep going and do a good job. And then I literally like had a conversation that gave me the mental adjustment I needed to step back and be like, wait, like, I don't need to impress this woman that I met 3 days ago that runs this restaurant, and there's nothing actually for me to feel ashamed of right now. And then, you know, like setting those boundaries and being assertive in a direct way, I ended up like literally just talking to her like an adult, right? Like, not like a kid that was scared. I was able to talk to her like an adult and say, I appreciate your time. I don't think that this is the right environment for me. I don't feel that this is really a good fit for me, but I appreciate your willingness to train me, and thank you so much. And I left, and the shame and like guilt and anxiety that I felt really vanished with that, because it was this silly little but very like meaningful example of me breaking those patterns and not approaching that situation as a kid that was trapped and was being mistreated and had to cope, but being able to like approach it as an adult who was like, oh yeah, I can just be like straight up and just be like, yeah, this isn't the job for me, like, thanks, I'm out. So you know, that's a relatively like superficial example, but I hope it kind of illustrates some of the things that I'm talking about. I'm just going to end this episode by listing off some different things to think about and different examples for how learned empowerment and assertiveness and boundaries can be explored and can be utilized, and like different ways that you might be able to work on that. So for me, what comes to mind with learned empowerment instead of learned helplessness is the right to your authentic experience, like to just tell the truth about how you feel, to share your feelings genuinely, the right to seek relationships with people that nurture your growth and make you feel safe, and end relationships with people who do not respect your boundaries, nurture your growth, or make you feel safe. That's a huge one. It's a really, really big one. The right to ask for what you need. This is like a really big one, especially with what I was talking about earlier in terms of people who shut down their needs or assume that their needs are bad and that's why they weren't met. So reparative experiences where you can identify what your needs are in certain like relationships and environments and then vocalize them and be direct about them. That's a huge one. The right to just straight up walk out of a bad situation. Like, I think the freeze response is a really good example of learned helplessness. If you relate to being in a scenario where you feel stressed or you feel scared and you just freeze up and go numb and kind of feel like paralyzed, that is such a good example of learned helplessness. And that's a trauma response that it's also really helpful to work through with a therapist. So as always, I highly recommend finding a good trauma-informed therapist to help support you through these different things. But yeah, the right to like leave situations, the right to end conversations, take breaks from conversations, set parameters around how you're willing to be talked to, what kinds of communication do and don't work for you. This shows up a lot in like attachment stuff. You know, people often don't know that they have the right to assert their attachment needs because they've never had anyone tell them that their attachment needs are reasonable and fair. And there's always been that associated shame and helplessness with it. So the empowerment to be direct with either friends or people you're dating or whatever about what your needs are to feel secure and supported. And the last thing I'll say is that the other really beneficial thing about assertiveness and boundaries and learned empowerment is that the more capable you feel of setting boundaries and asserting yourself and using your voice, the less you will find yourself relying on fight, flight, freeze, and fawn based coping mechanisms that may be distressing for you, because like I said, those responses are often based on this foundation of felt helplessness and needing to resort to these kind of familiar patterns of coping. So one thing that I found a lot, like with myself and just with other people that I've worked with, is the more comfortable and empowered you feel to say no, to set boundaries, to assert yourself, to, you know, all the different things that I've like talked about in this episode, the less you will have kind of overwhelming shutdown and trigger responses to things like conflict or stress or whatever like triggers occur. Instead of those kind of triggers feeling completely overwhelming and feeling like they're forcing you into kind of this like repeating trauma pattern, those experiences can end up being really productive because you can approach them in this different way where you feel able to speak for yourself and you just feel safer. Like, I think when if you look at it from like a polyvagal theory perspective and an inner child healing perspective, boundaries and assertiveness and empowerment help your nervous system relax and regulate, because if you know that you're not going to allow yourself to be abused or to end up in like a dangerous and unhealthy situation, if you know that you have these different like boundaries and skills in place to protect yourself, your nervous system is able to like relax. It's so much easier to get into ventral vagal, which is like your learning and connection mode. I think I've touched on this too in terms of with relationship patterns, like you will feel so much more comfortable opening up and connecting with people if you also feel confident in your boundary setting skills, because a lot of the walls that people have up in relationships can be traced back to this sense of learned helplessness. And like, if I get too close to someone, I'm going to end up in a situation where I can't protect myself and I get hurt, you know? And so this sense of like empowerment and assertiveness skills really also creates felt safety, and felt safety in your attachments, in your somatic processing. Like, it has really major impacts on the way that we function when we feel empowered instead of helpless, and the way that our like bodies function, the way that our reactions function. So yeah, if you haven't yet, look into boundaries and assertiveness and empowerment, and find a therapist, find a coach, find friends, find people that will support you learning those new skills. And when you notice yourself falling into a sense of helplessness or being trapped, you can use that as a cue to connect with your inner child, remind yourself of the adult skills and resources that you have now that you didn't have before, and ask yourself what it would feel like to change the way that you approach whatever situation has caused this feeling, and approach it as an adult who has rights and a voice and all these different tools and resources. And hopefully also you can build support for yourself and relationships that will encourage you learning those skills and make it safe for you to assert yourself. Like, you're not going to get punished or mistreated for asserting yourself. You're going to have people around you who are like, hell yeah, dude, you're doing awesome. So I hope all of this has made sense. I feel like you guys can all probably really tell I have ADHD in these episodes, because I think I start talking and there's not a single comma or period. I just keep talking for the entire half hour episode. But I hope this has all made sense. Thank you all for your support, and I will see you guys soon.